takes.
And you kind of
appreciate it.
Specific.
Heartbreaking fashion.
You stay up. 3 inches.
Raise 10-0. You can.
Listening to the Imaginary Radio Show.
We're back with the Imaginary Radio Show.
We're going to play Mystery Tape.
Mystery 8-track.
Mystery 8-track?
Mystery
8-track. Brian?
Put the coffee cup right on my decorative thing.
Brian.
I don't know how to work it.
You were so
put
uncouth.
Put it in.
Kick it in, as I like to say.
Kick it in?
Is this supposed to be on?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know how it works. Don't ask me.
And it should already be an auxiliary. So.
All right. What do you
put it in?
There's something in here.
No.
Push it. It doesn't go in all the way. It like sticks out.
8-track player, $20 says. What am I doing?
You're messing it up.
Felicia, can you do this?
What?
I don't know what the volume is.
Oh, the volume on this thing is messed up.
It's coming in straight from 1977.
Yeah, it actually sounds kind of nice.
There's no rewind on
this. This is fast forward.
This fast forward on some one.
Are these homemade?
Somebody's recorded them. Not bad. I like it.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I think it's from your homeland, Chuck.
And I...
My homeland? Which one?
Czechoslovakian right. Christmas. Hello, grab your garlic and salt. It's Chuck's Slovakian Christmas.
Believe me, that's like the worst part about it.
Ho, ho, ho.
Imagine eating just a raw clove of garlic in itself, but then like dipping it in
that
salt.
That would be alright. No, I would be alright with that. I think it's the cabbage and beans.
And the prunes.
Capusta.
Yeah, prunes and...
Capusta.
Capusta? God bless you.
I believe that's what it is. If I'm wrong, okay, somebody
label,
tell me.
Somebody label this Chuck's Slovakian Christmas, please.
He has a pen right in his pocket. Like, I'm all right.
He always does.
I'll label that thing right now.
A good cashier always has a pen.
All right. Ready? Oh, right at the beginning. Something's not working. Go.
Tape 2. Chuck, I think...
Take it out.
I think you should autograph. Yeah.
Yeah. Czechoslovakian Christmas. 8-track, we'll give it out.
Chuck's first.
Whoever wants. The first person to email is fucking Joe. Not for nothing. You're going to get a whole boatload of shit. Because we don't have any fucking email. So, you email, you're going to get a warped MacArthur Park. You're going to get Czechoslovakian Christmas music, autographed, and an 8-track.
WAG CDs.
You're going to get WAG CDs. You're going to get everything. You're going to be the happiest person.
You're going to be the WAG memorabilia extraordinaire. Yeah.
Please keep in touch with the show via email at imaginaryradio@optonline.net and look us up on Facebook.
One is for certain.
These actually have labels on them, but they're soap operas, so I thought they'd be interesting.
Soap opera, like soundtrack?
Favorite soap operas, volume one.
And oh, then wow. Favorite
soap operas. Like, what? They just two. Recorded the audio off of it?
I don't know.
I just want to listen to it.
This one's Guiding Life.
Fame.
Guiding Life?
Guiding Light, it's supposed to be.
Maybe not. Maybe it's Guiding Life.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I'm cold.
The Bold and the Ugly.
The Meek and the Ugly.
And down came Humpty Dumpty, to mix a metaphor. Look, you drink that. Lie down there a minute. I'll get my bag. No, no, I don't want your bag.
Oh, it's a sexual one.
Well, yeah, Humpty Dumpty broke.
Kidding, I'm taking a plane tonight. West, as far as I can go. Well, I've resigned as medical director. I'm clearing out. From Marcia and Molly and my job and try to find me. Because I'm lost somewhere and I've got to find me. When did you decide this? Molly saw it first. But some of Marcia is still under my skin or inside me.
The program is transcribed.
Maybe that's the part of me I can't find.
They're off the deep way.
Molly says,
I think we were all like just silent because we were just puzzled as to what's going on. Now it's just getting bizarre.
Look at the house they were talking.
Why do you have commercials going at the same time?
Two tracks are weird. Like,
yeah, playing two tracks at once.
Basically, it's like there's a track and then a track and
this is four tracks.
So all it does is the head moves to get the next track. So if it's in between, it'll play both tracks. A tracks are like not a very good mention.
Loud.
Ready? Listen.
This is Steve Hendrickson, St. Paul, Minnesota.
This is Harry Greathouse, Petolia, Kansas.
This is Neil G. Carey, Aula, Oahu, territory of Hawaii.
This is Leroy Sarvella, Minneapolis,
Minnesota.
What's
really funny is that all the women have male names.
Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Congratulations to all of you. All winners for the fourth week in the New Does contest will be notified by mail. Top 20 winners for the remaining
Chuck's
week of the contest
A-track
will be announced on this program in the near future.
I still hear the other people.
Be sure to listen Monday to another absorbing episode on Road of Life.
Road of Life?
That was Road of Life. Okay, here's another one. Ooh, The Romance of Helen Tent. Ugh, what a horrible name.
Helen Ma Tent. Perkins, I love that.
Mary Noble, Backstage Wife. That's gotta be good.
Young Dr. Malone. Dr. Malone, Linen a Cutting.
Young.
He's not young anymore.
Tell her a thing or two. I have... Right into the lion's mouth. That's me. I think it's the phone,
Lorenzo. Oh. This must be Sal Lorenzo.
Lorenzo Jones on his high horse. Begin. It is.
Why is the horse, darling?
Yeah.
I thought it had the wrong
number. I'm excited about something.
I am, and...
I know,
but I'm
going to
find my sweet
wife. Oh, yeah. This guy's
a jerk.
Oh, no, well, you have made a mistake, all right.
I did. I put it on the piano, but after, when I thought to myself, maybe that wasn't such a good place. After all, you don't play, darling.
Yeah, not on your tin type.
Oh, anyhow, you didn't find it.
I am collecting it this very minute in my little hot hand.
Oh, good. When I'm home to call at 6:30.
Yeah, we
can. What?
I wish I could understand what's happening.
I am not. No, I can't hear anything either.
It's our next hit.
Chuck's dancing.
If you could call that dancing. If bending my knees qualifies.
And now, the imaginary radio show.
From 1932.
With the imaginary radio show players. Well, that worked out
perfect. Good fade out.
You should grab that clip right off there and use it.
Oh, you should, bro.
A little mining town of Silver Creek, Colorado. When young womanhood married England's richest, most handsome lord, Lord Henry Brenton. The story that asks the question, can this girl, a little mining town in the West, find happiness as the wife of a wealthy and titled Englishman?
No.
Doubt it.
Now back to the imaginary radio show. Feedback, email us at imaginaryradioshow@optonline.net.
No, just imaginary
and
radio.
Our gal. I might have been talking during the first one. The
sorry.
About the imaginary radio show from 1932. I think I was saying something like that in the background.
Who was the victim of a brutal accident a few days ago.
Oh, no.
The reader standing on Lord Henry is aware that Norma's sister Gail was riding in the car that struck down Davy and then drove off, leaving him seriously injured in the road.
Oh, no.
Now, it's early afternoon, and Tippy Rogers, who drove the hit-and-run car, is knocking impatiently on the door of the Kenyon apartment.
Well, this is a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Tippy Rogers.
Well, Gail, aren't you going to ask me in?
Well, all right. Why did you come here, Tippy? Norma would be furious. She hates you.
Your sister's at the office, isn't she?
What if she should come and find you?
Listen, Gail, you called the garage a while ago. You said you wanted to talk to me, didn't you?
Yes.
So here I am.
I thought we could talk tonight.
I'm going to be tied up at the garage tonight.
At the garage?
That's what I said. Now, look, I haven't got much time.
You make me long for Pete Russell's warning.
You have to work at the garage at night. I mean, you act so mysterious about it.
Did you ever hear of curiosity being dangerous, Gail?
I don't know what you mean.
Is
I mean,
he
stop
threatening
asking questions
her?
And you won't get into trouble.
Damn
sometimes
right.
I just don't understand you, Tippy. You're working nicely, Stephen, and you're never wanting me to come to the garage.
Gail, if your only reason for wanting to see me is to nag...
Oh,
and...
I
this is so dated.
I have
this
to come here because... It's about the little boy.
Little boy? What? Good night. Can't you stop thinking of that? I told you to forget about him. No, you listen. I didn't tell you this before because I figured, well, it would get you all excited. There was a cop at the garage yesterday.
Oh, no.
Remember we were at the lunchroom across the street and I saw a police car pull up? Well, it was the Fairbrook town constable.
Town constable?
Yes. He said he wanted to look around.
I told him, sure.
I asked him what it was all about. He said there'd been a kid run over a few days ago, and he was looking for a bright red car.
Your car? Tippy, they saw it. They saw the car and they know.
Take it easy, Gail.
Someone must have seen the accident.
It was the kid.
Oh.
He saw the car when we hit him. He told the constable it was red.
Tippy.
Stop rambling, Gail. The inspector didn't find the car.
He didn't find it.
I painted it.
But where is it? What did he do with it?
That's my business. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's all taken care of.
Nothing to worry about. That shows how much you know.
What do you mean?
I've been trying to tell you, Tippy. I know now who the boy is.
Gail, if you call the hospital again.
No, I didn't.
Then, ha-ha.
My sister is engaged to Sir Malcolm Spencer. He came over from England so they could set the date for their wedding.
Sure. You told me all about it. You tried to break up their engagement.
Well, Malcolm is staying with the Lord and Lady Brinsup in Fairbrook. This morning I went to their estate to see him. I wanted to talk to him.
Go on.
While I was waiting, I asked to talk to Lady Brinsup. The maid said Lady Brinsup was at the hospital visiting her son.
You mean?
She said the little boy had been run over a few days ago near Black Swan Hall. And that the police are doing everything they can to find the hit-and-run driver who did it. Oh, Tippy, it's us. We're the ones the police are looking for. We're the ones.
Cut it out, Gail. Get hold of yourself.
But don't you see? It's Lord and Lady Brinsup's son.
Everything.
And the man
Norman
is engaged to a living right in their home. He's a friend of theirs.
Well, what of it?
What of it? We haven't a chance of getting away with it. The police are hunting for us. They'll track us down.
How can they? They haven't a thing to go on.
They know about the car.
They'll never be able to find it.
But
use your head, Gail. What does it matter if he is the Brinsup's son?
But don't you understand? If I'm asked for their home, if I have to meet them and talk to them, how can I sleep knowing what I do? No, and I'm to blame for what happened to their son.
Yeah, you'll be all right. There's nothing to worry about. They have another thing on
their own. They have
another son. They never suspected. Nor McKinley
insisting
that
they
had a lawn accident.
But I know it. I know it.
You breathe a word of it and I'll kill you. I mean it, Dale. I'm crazy about you, and I've got big plans for it. But if you
I'll kill you?
You
I'm crazy about you?
You breathe a word of this and I'll kill you.
Oh, help me out.
Help me out, Rocky.
Someone? No. And I wouldn't control this girl. She never does.
So help me, I'll kill you.
What is it?
Down there. Oh, sure, I should have known that. Car. Big fancy car.
It's a business car. I saw it when I was at Black Swan Hall this morning. What are we going to do? Tiffany, what are we going to do?
Dun dun!
Meanwhile, at the Good Shepherd Hospital, Sunday comes into the room where her young son, Baby, is sleeping. And as she opens the door, she's startled to hear,
"No! No, let me out! Take the rock away! Let me out!"
Sounds like me at the dentist.
It was a red
clock! Oh, darling, Mother, I'm right here beside you.
Oh, Chloe! Oh, my. I'm glad you're here.
Every little boy sounds just like that.
Mm-hmm. He sounds like all the kids in the Christmas specials you've been watching.
They all talk with, like, that voice. He's really a claymation little boy. I tell you. That's really who he is. So don't worry, audience. He was just clay.
Push them back together.
Don't worry, the clay just was run over by more clay.
It's like Gumby.
Now, darling, try to calm down. It's just a bad dream, that's all. Molly.
It was.
Whatever wasn't a dream.
Just a bad
dream. Of course it was. There's nothing to be frightened about. What? What if I can't walk? Please, what makes you even think such a thing? Of course you can walk.
I can't, Molly. I can hardly move at all.
That's because of a cast on.
A cast?
Yes, yes. But as soon as you're
kid's stupid.
Put
cast on, relax. The overall back.
My foot is really big and white.
His signature's on it.
Well, they don't, man.
What do you mean about this story? What makes you think of a man for business?
Well, right when we were
there
this morning, Molly, I had my eyes shut tight. I guess they thought I was
special
kidding.
Socks,
son. Other nurse said to Miss Caldwell, "Poor little boy." That's what she said, the poor little boy. And then she said, "Does his father and mother know yet?"
What else did she say?
Miss Caldwell said, "Not yet. Dr. Abba hasn't told them yet." And she said, "It's critical for a child his age tied to a wheelchair." Then I opened my eyes and Miss Caldwell told the other nurse to be quiet. Molly, they think I'm not ever going to walk again, don't they?
The doctors were talking about it in front of him because they thought he was asleep, and they said, "Have they told his parents yet?" "No, they haven't told his parents. What a pity, a poor child that young going to be tied to a wheelchair." He heard it.
That's rough.
Maybe the kid's not that dumb.
He's acting like he's dumb.
He's playing.
You said I'm going home soon and I'll be all right. They were stepping and I'll come with the cold. So, yes, for me.
And remember this.
You, Doctor.
Yes, Doctor. Ah, how's my little patient this afternoon?
I'm all right. I want to go home, Dr. Abbott.
Well, of course you do, David. I'm afraid we're going to have to keep you here a little longer. Besides, I thought you liked everyone here at the hospital.
I do, Molly. I want to go home.
I'll tell you what, Davy. How would you like your brother Lonnie to come see you this afternoon?
Tell you what, Davy, get up and walk home. If you can't, you're staying here.
So I'm going to have a few more visitors now. If your mother says it's all right for them to come over.
Oh, Molly, please call Lonnie. Tell him to come right over.
All right, Davy. I'll telephone him now. Thank you, guys.
that is, I'm not answering.
I don't answer you.
I'll answer for numbers. Oop, that's an accident. I don't answer for numbers I don't recognize.
You'll be back very soon, baby.
Wow! Yay! I can't wait to learn again. Dr. Abbott, I want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. We knew that was coming.
I want to know how long Brady will be in the hospital.
Maybe that's difficult to say. But it'll be several more weeks at the very least.
But he's coming along well. His injuries are healing, Michael.
He's doing as well as can be expected. You must remember that it was a very serious accident he had. He's lucky to come out of it alive.
You haven't answered my question, Dr. Abbott.
Sonny, if you'll forgive me, I have another patient.
No, Dr. Please. For a long time, I suspected there were things you haven't told anyone. It's been invasive and strange whenever I've got to question. Dr. Abbott, what is it? Don't you understand? I want the truth.
Very well, Sonny.
It's a hoedown truth.
See, I get to put in some happy music, but it's very sad news.
Yes. You ask for the truth, Sonny.
I have a very special friend, Bob Dylan, to give you the bad news. He will sing it in folk style.
Dr. Julian Abbott wants to say, regarding the injured son of our gal Sunday.
What?
That's it.
Oh, come on. I gotta know what happens next. Now I'm addicted. I have to go back 80 years. Find out.
Our gal Sunday.
Yay for our gal Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the Imaginary Radio Show. To hear our music and to download more Imaginary Radio Show episodes, please visit www.thewagband.com.